Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today. The election is over, but it's really not. We're taping this the morning after the election with a great Power Pundit panel. Mike Hillaby, Brian Wachter, and Helen Foley join us for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions, and all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority, and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology, like this electronic eye, that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you, because trucks move America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel today. We're taping this on November 4th, so the morning after the election. Everything's still up in the air, but we're going to get opinions. If you're listening on KSNV or you're listening on KOH, then you're going to be hearing this a couple of days after. You probably know more results than we do, but these are the perspectives. So we start out with Helen Foley, President of Foley Public Affairs, Brian Wachter, Senior Vice President of Government and Public Affairs at the Retail Association of Nevada, and Michael Hillaby, Director of Legislative Affairs at Kempfer Kroll. So Helen, starting with you, what's the biggest surprise of the night so far?
How close the race is. I've been doing voter protection for the Democrats for the last month. And, you know, I don't think we anticipated it being this close. We heard about the red mirage, but that's exactly what's happened. Our effort was to get mail-in ballots, get everybody to mail in their ballot. And now, of course, those are the ones that are still outstanding that will decide the race.
And what exactly is voter protection?
People call into a hotline if they're having problems. They want to know where their polling place is, if they had an issue at a poll where they were being intimidated, if all of a sudden they have COVID and they can't get to the polls, how they do an emergency ballot. You just help people with all of those things throughout.
And were there any phone calls that concerned you?
I knew that Pennsylvania was going to be a disaster from the beginning because they haven't done the mail-in ballots the way we have in Nevada. And a lot of those counties weren't even going to begin opening up the ballots to prepare them for count until yesterday. So yes, it has caused a real logjam. Although because of COVID, I certainly understand the fear of people going to the polls. So it's a kink. It's a major kink that's going to have to be worked out nationally.
Mike, what was your biggest surprise of last night?
So I think how close it was nationwide for the presidency, and then to some extent here in Nevada, that the Republicans in a couple of the challengers in or incumbents, or excuse me, candidates in open Senate seats, that the Senate looks as potentially competitive as it does at the state level. So both Nicole Cannizzaro, at least this morning, being very, very slightly behind. So that was interesting. Heidi Gansert seems to be doing well as of this morning. It's a narrow lead, but doing better than I think she thought going into that. So a little bit surprising there. So we'll see what happens. And then in the Assembly as well, it looks like the R's pick up enough seats to deny the Democrats in the Assembly a two-thirds supermajority.
All right, Brian Wachter, your thoughts on what happened last night?
Well, I think for one, right, these were not the maps that we were told to expect to wake up to today. And so I think right off the bat, it's much more competitive in almost every single one of these states than was anticipated. I think taking a look at how well Donald Trump performed with Hispanic voters in particular, you look at Florida into Texas. And so I think it's going to be interesting to see where Trump got an extra, 5-6% in the minority vote that was unaccounted for and, unanticipated. So I think that is having a larger role in some of these states that folks weren't looking at. And so to me, that was kind of the biggest takeaway. I mean, if you look at Hidalgo County, Texas, where the detention centers on the border between Mexico and Texas are located, Hillary Clinton won that handily in 2016. But there was a 20% shift into Donald Trump in 2020. And so those are some of the things that I think the takeaway and what we're going to need to be looking at as we go forward are some of those demographics.
Let's take a break here. We're going to have Brian reboot his system here, and we'll be right back.
Tamarack Casino is giving away $100,000 through November 28th. You heard that right. Tamarack is giving away $100,000 guaranteed. Every Friday and Saturday, Tamarack will give away $5,000 nightly. And on October 30th and November 28th, Tamarack will be giving away $20,000 in all cash grand prizes guaranteed. Don't miss your chance to win big.
Ooh, your good times at Tamarack.
Your good times are at Tamarack.
Penny, Dad? What are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this.
Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they will.
Ahern Rentals began as Signal Gas Station on Las Vegas Boulevard. Founder John Ahern grew the business by offering rentals. His son Don built on John's legacy, growing Ahern Rentals into the largest independently owned American rental company with 89 locations in 30 states. Don also brought his experience and vision to equipment manufacturing with Extreme Manufacturing and Snorkel. Today, Ahern Rentals continues to bring its family values to a new generation. Learn more at ahern.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, it's our day after the election, if you can call it that, because the election is still going on. Great pundit panel with Helen Foley, Brian Wachter, and Michael Hillaby. Helen, Donald Trump saved the news media in this country. They've never made more profits than they have in the last 4 years. Did Donald Trump save the election process as well?
Oh my heavens, I can't even act like I'm not prejudiced against Donald Trump. it's a strange thing. He's always saying, oh, don't believe those polls, and the new polls come out every other day. And here's two elections that people are not voting the way pollsters are saying they're voting. But if you take a look at it, nobody wants to get a call from a pollster any longer. We don't have landlines. I think it's very difficult to predict how people want to vote. But he has been the most divisive president we've ever had. And I hope at some point there's a healing process. He's never reached out to the other side. He has always just reached to his base. Most of us felt that his base was small. Obviously, it's not.
I think something Helen said is really interesting, that people didn't vote the way the poll said they would. I think there's a factor that people didn't vote the way they said they would. I think there's a lot of folks who potentially, particularly middle-income, suburban, white men and women, particularly the women who were polling, who were moving away from Trump. And I think some of them, in fear or whatever motivation, they're not going to tell anybody they voted for Trump, and they did. I'll be really interested to see how those numbers kind of line up when this is all over. But I think that may be a significant part of why the poll numbers don't line up.
Brian, is there a big difference between private polling and public polling? Because I know Retail Association polls throughout the year on various topics. It seems like public polling as an art form is dead.
Well, I think one of the biggest takeaways for us on polling is really your party registration on your card doesn't seem to be the biggest indicator anymore on how you're going to vote or whether or not you fully bought into that party. And so I think given the fact that Nevada's, a third of nonpartisan, I think the way we look at elections and the way we look at groups of voters is going to have to shift away from an RD mentality into, constituencies that have their own wants, needs, and desires.
Mike, it's been interesting to see that, Nevada was still considered a battleground state at the beginning of this cycle. Then it kind of seemed like the money was being pulled out. Trump was pulling out money. There wasn't going to be a major effort in Nevada. And then in the last 6-7 weeks, it's been all Nevada for Nevadans, at least as far as television and radio advertising, et cetera. So are we still a battleground state? It certainly seems like it to me.
I think so. If you get a look at that electoral map this morning, people thought it would be Arizona and others, and we're the spot in the West that's getting all the attention because it's still undecided at this point with that kind of slim lead for Biden. Yeah, I think, again, we have that history here, and particularly in Washoe County. Voters swing back and forth. We do different things down ballot, split those tickets. So, yeah, I think Nevada stays that way, despite the real gains the Democrats have made in registration with the size of the independents. And again, of course, independents of people without either of the major party, their registrations are going faster than Republicans. They're losing to independents and third party candidates in terms of registration. But that big middle group is what really matters still here.
Helen, just looking at the congressional races in Nevada, it seems that there was a Republican strength that people really had not accounted for. They had taken the idea of the Reed machine and run with it, but it seems that didn't work nearly as well this time around. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that Susie Lee was smart in coming out very defensively in her race against her opponent, who she started attacking almost from the beginning. I personally thought it was overkill, but I think that's what is going to save her. Stephen Horsford's race, of course, was far closer than it should have been. But you've got so much of the rural area in there, and maybe people in North Las Vegas just didn't vote.
And that's an interesting point. Brian, your thoughts on that? Because Susie Lee was still fundraising at 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon with an email that came out and said, this is our last ask. And from $3 up, at what point do you stop fundraising? It seemed like it was crazy.
Well, I think for some of those congressional members, right, they don't stop fundraising. That's just not something a congressman does. And so it doesn't surprise me that on election eve, when folks are still willing maybe to chip in $3, $4, $5, that you do that push. I don't think anybody yesterday morning was going to suggest that Susie Lee was going to be at final 1.5% leading into this final vote tally. I think the other thing we have to look at is what votes are left still to count. And those are votes that were received on election day or going to start receiving over the next 10 days. If the national trend continues, those tend to be a little bit more conservative voters. In Arizona, they're breaking 60-40 to President Trump. And so I think you have these razor-thin margins that are still way too close to call, but indicative of a race that didn't materialize, like Helen was saying, how the left thought it was going to. You know, in the state Senate, you had the possibility for, you know, the entire month of October talking about how Democrats would have super majorities in both houses, you know, to add to their monopoly in state government. And we just saw, you know, yesterday that that didn't happen. And I think when you point out Horsford and some of those numbers, there's going to have to be a deep dive into what was so miscalculated.
You know, and it's interesting because, I mean, do you agree with Helen that Democrats potentially stayed home in CD4?
Possibly. I think, you know, a little bit too early to start going into and who voted how. But there definitely wasn't a wave in either direction. And in some of these races, you know, both D's and R's are barely meeting the registration advantages in those districts. And so I think that's what kind of that miscalculation is. There seemed to be an 8-10 point spread that was kind of baked in from a Biden to Trump, from Trump to Biden, and that didn't materialize.
Mike, you know, go ahead, Helen.
One of the races, the groups of races that was just deplorable here in Southern Nevada was our judicial races. I come from a long line of attorneys, and people had no idea who all those people were. We had dozens of judicial races that were up, and it was very clear that when in doubt, vote for the woman. And there were some fabulous potential judges that did not get elected because a female did. Now, can you imagine me saying this? I mean, I love the fact that we have women, but I want qualified women who deserve the position. And so, it's a disaster to have the judicial races on the ballot. When we were a smaller community and had 10 or 12 judges, that was easy. You voted for who you knew. But people in Southern Nevada now have no idea who these people are that are running for judge.
Go ahead, Brian.
I was just saying, we're going to repeat that every 6 years. You know, that ballot is going to look like that. And you know, you're going to be faced with, you know, having to build that into kind of the electoral math. Is, you know, you're going to have a two-page ballot every 6 years. And do we want that level of I don't want to say scrutiny because it's the opposite of, but do we want our judges elected like that?
Okay, so Mike, that brings up, you know, the ghost of Bill Raggio is coming in, and Justice Sandra Day O'Connor saying, "I told you, you should have not been voting for judges." But does this say a bigger thing about newspapers, which is certainly in Southern Nevada, the Las Vegas Review-Journal did an incredible job laying out the judges' races. And so I got to give credit to the Nevada Independent, the Reno Gazette-Journal. But does this say that people are either not paying attention to that information, in a way not going down ballot when reading the newspaper, as it were, And do we need to find a better way to do this without changing the way we elect judges?
So the first half of your question, yes, people clearly are not paying attention to those races, judging by the calls that everybody in the lawyers in our law firm get, that I get. Hey, what's going on? What do you know about these judges? From a handful of people, frankly, I got fewer calls than I think we all did than we thought we would normally with that many judges on. So yeah, I think people don't pay attention to that. I'm when the final vote tally is done, it'll be interesting to look at the none of these candidate numbers in some of those races. State Court of Appeals, that race, I got a pretty high number of none of these candidates. Again, you had two female candidates in that race. To the other question, that probably will reinvigorate the discussion. Do we want some version of the Missouri plan where judges are appointed and then stand before the electorate? Do you want to be retained or something like that? That's a really good question. What do we know about most of these people? And then you look at a very high profile race here for district court between Kathleen Sigurdsson and Elliot Sattler. That was a strange circumstances where a sitting judge that by all accounts is a good judge and well regarded is beaten by a challenger who was recruited and fully funded by one person. And that's dangerous. That's not good, regardless of the merits of either of them as and what kind of judges they may be or may become in the case of Kathleen Sigurdsson. That's a horrible idea that a person who is so angry about a judge's decision can single-handedly recruit and single-handedly fund a campaign and unseat a judge.
One of the things I thought was strange, and I guess we'll see on the campaign finance reports, is that Sigurdsson was still running advertisements for her law practice at the same time political ads were running for her. And I don't know if that has to be listed as, you know, a campaign fund. rather than just regular advertising.
And I got, we had flyers at our house a few days ago, actually not mailed in, but stuck onto the mailbox from Kathleen Sigurdsson's campaign. Some were heavy cardstock that had not been addressed. Another was a kind of quickly done Xerox copy, and it said there are lawyers appearing before Judge Sattler that have funded his campaign, and that's an ethical violation and wrong. That's not true. That's a frightening thing to say. So that campaign got pretty ugly.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back much more, way more than we can do in a half an hour after this timeout.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
One of the most psychologically damaging things parents can do to children in divorce is disparage one another, which is why I can't believe I even have to make this commercial. Half of your kids' genetics come from this person you're spewing hate about. Your children have the right to love you both, but more than that, they deserve to love themselves.
Marilyn York might be a men's rights divorce attorney, but this is for every selfish parent. Shut up.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. And a lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Tamarack Casino is giving away $100,000 through November 28th. You heard that right. Tamarack is giving away $100,000 guaranteed. Every Friday and Saturday, Tamarack will give away $5,000 nightly. And on October 30th and November 28th, Tamarack will be giving away $20,000 in all cash grand prizes guaranteed. Don't miss your chance to win big.
Ooh, your good times at Tamarack.
Your good times are at Tamarack.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great pundit panel going here. We're taping this the morning after Election Day, but the election is still going on. So if you're listening to this on KSNV or you're listening to this on KOH, some of this material may be outdated, but these are great opinions either way. Mike Killaby is here, Director of Legislative Affairs for Kenfer Kroll, former Chief of Staff to Governor Gwynn. Brian Wachter is a Senior Vice President of Government and Public Affairs at the Retail Association of Nevada. And former State Senator Helen Foley is with us. She's President of Foley Public Affairs. So it was interesting to watch the race with Heidi Gansert because it appeared to be more of a softening up in case she decides to run for governor, Brian, than it was necessarily about her Senate seat.
Possibly. I think the short list for the Republican, nominee for governor is working itself out. I think there was a general desire by the Senate Republican or the Senate Democratic Caucus to capture that 14th seat in the Senate and solve some of their two-thirds majority problems. As you know, they lost in the court on the case on S-51. I think they saw an opportunity to see the majority kind of supplanted in the majority. If there's conversations about weakening her going into the gubernatorial race. I think that's just a little premature before we know how that race is really going to shape up.
Helen, what did you think about April Becker's race?
Well, that race is really close, and I don't think we can say at this point until these other mail-in ballots decided what's happening. But that was really, Nicole Cannizzaro only won by a couple hundred votes last time she ran. So that is a real even Steven kind of district. One thing that I was upset about was the way the special session was handled, especially in the Senate, when you had hearings, no hearings all day, and then all of a sudden at night, at between 10 and 2 in the morning, you'd start having some hearings. That was outrageous. They've got to be a lot more accountable to the people, and I think they're probably going to get that message.
Okay, so Helen, I'm going to direct you to the interview I conducted after your last appearance on the program where you complained about this as well, with Ivana Cancela, and her response basically to your complaint was, that's why they call it a special session. I'm not sure if that's a good answer, but that was her answer.
I love Ivana, but I think that's an excuse.
Yeah, I'm with Helen. I think it was a disaster.
If you're going to find that the Nevada legislature hardly ever votes on taxes in the daylight. I think during the regular special session in Senate Finance, you're sitting there at 2 o'clock, 12:30, you know, in the morning, and you're voting on these things. So I think if you went back and actually looked at what the timestamp is on when these votes are taken during regular sessions, you'll find that it's...
Well, I'll disagree with Brian a little bit. And we had a call yesterday from one of the associates in our Las Vegas office trying to find some legislative history on SB4 in the second special session, the tort reform liability bill on COVID. And I just laughed. And she said, what are you laughing at? Said, welcome to our world. There is no legislative history. She said, Mike, and she mentioned specific legislators, some of them Democrats, who asked questions on the floor that never got answered. So there is no legislative history, at least in the normal process of the session. While we do a lot of things in the middle of the night toward the end, there have been a series of hearings, there have been actual witnesses, there have been exhibits, there have been question and answers that were actually answered. There was a legislative sponsor of the bill who took responsibility to shepherd that through. When all those bills came from the governor's office, they're not sitting on the floor able to answer those questions when those debates are happening. So we were much, much the worse for what happened during that special session.
I have to say, I fear for what's coming in February. Thank you all very much. As we've pointed out, we're taping this on the morning of November 4th, so there are still results to come in all across the board, including, of course, the presidential election. Thank you all for participating. It was a great discussion, and we'll be right back.
Thanks, Sam.
Kenny, Dad? Why are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they were.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
You can now watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and search for Nevada Newsmakers and become a subscriber. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.